T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Marks and Reese on a Friday in the Delaware Valley. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Hello, Ike.
Johnny Marks. Holla at your boy.
Less than 2 weeks till the NFL draft. Ike, 2 weeks from right now, 2 o'clock in two Fridays, we will know who the Eagles have selected in the first round of the draft. How about that?
Ooh, boy.
More than likely mad as hell from the Thursday night selection, discussing it all day Friday, basically sending out veiled threats. They better get this pick right tonight.
So let me
what's the likelihood that scenario plays out?
That they get the pick right?
No, they were mad about the first day's pick, and now we put all the pressure on. Because today would be heading into the second night, rounds 2 and 3.
Well, this is the night that they would draft Jalen Hurts.
Right.
At 53.
Right, like last year.
Well, we were already still. We didn't know whether to be happy or upset about the Jalen Reagor pick, and then the Hurts pick came.
We were still dazed. I think I talked myself into saying Reagor was a good pick, and Jack was already saying Justin Jefferson. Who is he the comp to?
Bayou Jordan Matthews, yeah.
Jordan Matthews. So check this out, Ike. I saw today that Ben Standig, who writes for The Athletic, NFL writer for The Athletic, had said that the Eagles are looking to get back up into the top 10. Obviously, depending on what happens, you will have opportunities. I know Carolina's been talked about because they got Sam Darnold. They may be looking to add more talent than just getting the best player there at 8. Mm-hmm. So they potentially could be a trade partner. Denver, if there's not a quarterback there that they like, you could trade up a couple spots. And what you're doing is you're jumping the Cowboys and the Giants, and you're picking ahead of them if you like one of the corners or one of the wide receivers. I'll say this, because in 2 weeks, Ike, you know what I'd like to be talking about? I'd like to be talking about both of the Eagles' first-round draft picks from the 2021 draft. That's what I would like, because there's the talk of trading up. I don't want to trade up. I want to use that third-round pick that it would cost to trade up a couple spots, and I want to get back in the first round. So I don't want to trade up. I don't think it's a good idea to trade up to 8 or 9. I actually like the idea of staying put, taking the best player, and then you have your options open to where if you want to, you can trade back into the first round. I don't want to trade away that third round pick. It's very valuable, especially in this draft. So I don't like the idea of trading up in the first round.
Yeah, it can be very valuable to trading up. You're right. You're right about that. I mean, unless somebody else is willing to trade up in your spot, or give you a first-round pick, and they don't want a pick in the first round. I think we all would love to have 2 first-round picks. I don't think anybody would argue that. But if nobody is offering that, that's not necessarily on the table. And if a player that you absolutely want, that you're in fear of your division rivals taking, and you would be left possibly with neither of the guys or the lesser of the two that you want, then I'm going up and getting the guy that I want. I'm going up and getting the guy that I wanted. That guy is Patrick Surtain at number 9 with Denver. I got no problem giving up a third-round pick to go get Patrick Surtain. What are you going to do with the 12th pick and the other pick? What are we doing here? What are we getting? Are we sure you're going to get J.C. Horn there and someone else later in the first round? Or do I have to take some defensive end and then go get Asante Samuel Jr. with the other first-round pick? Like what am I doing with the other pick that I want in the first round?
I am not advocating for a defensive lineman to be drafted at 12. So, no, I don't
want
that.
Well, I mean, a lot of this would – if J.C. Horn and Surtain are gone, then what are you doing?
I think they're trading back if that's the case, right? So just stay with me here.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. Like,
I'm lost. Okay.
Get up and get that player that you want. But likely you're going to get one of the top three receivers, you're going to get one of the top two corners, or you're going to get the second best offensive lineman. That's who's going to be there, right? Like it's a numbers game.
Potentially.
But I would say that the likelihood is more that you're getting a top three receiver or a top two corner or the second best offensive lineman than you're not, right? And you know what? I am very good with that. I am perfectly fine with that because you're still getting, remember, if five quarterbacks go in the first round, that then now you're getting the seventh best player in the draft outside of a quarterback.
Sure.
Right? So you're still getting a top player.
Yeah, but what you've done is you set up this scenario where all your players fall in the order that you want them to fall in, and you get the best of the scenario. Like, that's the way this has been set up. That's why you wait on draft night until it unfolds, and then you make that decision. I'm saying if my players are gone, and I want Patrick Surtain, that's who I want, and I know this is where he may go, I'm going up to get there because if a receiver was that important to me, then either I wouldn't have to trade up or I would have stayed at six and taken the best receiver. I don't know if that's what the Eagles want as is a receiver. I don't know if that's what they want with the 12th pick. They may decide a defensive end. When I was on my way in here, Joe and John were talking about the history of the draft under this ownership and front office regime over the last 27 years. 20 of those picks have come in the trenches, O-line or D-line. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles may say, I'll take an O lineman there or a D lineman there if Surtain and J.C. Horn is gone.
And they could end up.
So there's no guarantee they're going to take Waddle or Devontae Smith there and then get some other pick. We don't know that. So until we see the players in front of us play itself out, that's why you don't do a lot of these things until draft night, because a lot of it hinges on what available happens to you.
Right.
Because you may not have to move at all to get Patrick Surtain.
Right.
The Cowboys may take an offensive lineman.
Well, it's the Cowboys are definitely the wild card. They've been linked to Pitts. I don't think he makes it there. They've been
rumored. They may trade up.
Exactly.
To get him.
The Cowboys could literally do anything. The Atlanta pick could be for sale. The Cowboys could just be the team that says, "Yeah, sure, we'll trade with you." Atlanta says, "All right, we go back to 10. That's not bad, right? We still get a top player at 10. They'll give up an additional second plus at least to get up there." So you're right. I mean, Dallas could do that. I'm kind of willing to roll the dice and see what happens. The only way they don't get a top three corner or a top three wide receiver or a top two corner is if one of those quarterbacks slips. So if you don't have five quarterbacks taken before you draft a 12, the likelihood is you probably are going to miss out unless something happens and a second offensive lineman's gone, right? Like just with the numbers games that it is, if four quarterbacks slip, you may not get one of those receivers or corners. But like I think five quarterbacks are going to go. I don't buy this. I don't buy Justin Fields is sliding all the way out of the first half of the first round. I don't believe that for a second. Mm-hmm. And Ike, I'll tell you, I really like the idea. If they were to go from 37 to 30, the Bills are picking 30. They're one of the rumored destinations that the Eagles could swap picks with. They give up their third round pick. They go from 37 to 30. You jump back in the first round. Now you're getting a wide receiver possibly if you take a corner with your first pick. Now you could get a cornerback.
I need to know who these players are. I'm just not infatuated with a position. They could do a lot of things. They can do a lot of things. I want the player. I want the actual player that's closer to being a sure thing. That's what I want, as opposed to waiting to see what falls to me, to see whatever falls to me. So if you're selling me on a certain player, then okay, then now I can buy more into that theory. If I'm saying I'm moving up to get Patrick Surtain, now I know I'm going up to get what I believe is going to be a Pro Bowl cornerback. That's what I believe I'm going up to get. So I'm buying a player. Jamar Chase, I'm buying a player as opposed to just the number, right? And that was my whole thing about moving from 6 to 12. Yeah, it's great in theory to have these picks so you can do this and that and the other. Well, what are you going to do with them?
Right.
Who are you getting with them? And the more you move back or the less options you give yourself of taking the top 10 talent, the consensus top 10 talent, the more likely you are to miss out on having that impactful player. Do you want a C-level player or do you want a Pro Bowl difference-making player? Aren't we tired of getting just the run-of-the-mill average player? Or do we want the guy that's always playing in the Pro Bowl every year? Or is the guy who's listed in the top five of his position? I get tired of watching everybody else's team have those caliber of players. and then we have to hope our guys turn into that. Right? We got to charge. We got to charge ourselves up. Like, yeah, Travis Fulgham, he's the next T.O. Like, we got to be like, I'm tired of doing that type of stuff,
but,
man.
But also, T. Higgins was the second round draft
pick last year. He's the next Darren Sproles. Yeah. Okay. We don't need another running back.
But Justin
Boston Scott.
Justin Jefferson was picked in the 20s. The Eagles just picked the wrong receiver. T. Higgins was a second round draft pick. There are really talented players down
they
in
are.
The beginning of the second and the end of the first round. Give me another one of those
talented
guys.
Players everywhere. What's the main thing we're always complaining about? The further they move back, the less likely they are to hit on the player.
All right, we'll take phone calls.
Yeah, guess who was available when they drafted Marcus Smith? DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah, there's always players available.
Yeah.
There's always – guess who was available when they drafted Nelson Aguilar? DeAndre Hopkins. Like, there's always players available.
Mm-hmm. Got to get the right ones. Got to get the right ones.
Yeah.
All right, we take phone calls in the first segment.
Exactly.
We have a nice long first segment.
Uh-oh.
Sort of. Sort of breaking news. You got to get the right players. You got to get the right players in the draft. Nothing.
Sort of breaking news. That's the sort of breaking news.
I didn't know what the hell you
were
doing.
No, that's why it's the sort of breaking news.
I thought
real
Nick Sirianni has been fired as the Eagles coach or something already.
No, you can't fire a guy that loves ball as much as him.
I didn't know if they already. All right, as we do now in our new structure, we take phone calls in the first segment at 215-592-9494. We see your phone calls. We're going to get to them in a second. 215-592-9494. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's is hiring right now, all positions, full and part-time positions, chickiesandpetes.com/careers. Join the Chickies and Pete's team right now at chickiesandpetes.com/careers. Right now, Jack, where do you fall on this? Are you ready to trade up to get the wrong player, or you want to sit where you are to
get the wrong player at 12 or get the wrong player at 9? I'm in the camp of go up and get Patrick Surtain. I'm sick and tired of the Cowboys taking players right in front of us.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And
CeeDee Lamb last year.
Only the Eagles would trade back behind the Giants and Cowboys so that they could take the players in front of them. Like, for me, I don't want a receiver. Offensive line would be fine. Like, I need a lockdown cornerback next to Darius Slay, and I'm not even sure Darius Slay is a lockdown cornerback anymore.
Yeah.
And I think J.C. Horn stinks. Like,
I'm pretty sure he's not a lockdown corner anymore.
Yeah, and J.C. Horn, I think there's a big drop-off between Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn. I think he stinks. So I want to go get the number one guy and get it done.
Let me just say, I just feel like you just put a hex on my guy.
Yes.
No, I know. I didn't mean to do that.
Now I'm sure they need him, J.C. Horn, and not Patrick Surtain. Now I'm sure the J.C. Horn at 12.
That guy grabs too much. He looks like an athlete playing cornerback. I'm not sold on J.C. Horn just yet.
There you go.
Devonta Smith put him in a blender.
He did it again.
Devontae. 215-592-9494. We start with phone calls here. Let's go to the phones, Ike. So the question is, trade up or stay put? And the biggest reason why I would stay put, you can use that third-round draft pick to get back into the first round. So if I'm asking, would I rather have 12 and the capabilities of having the 30th pick or at the top, at the bottom of the first round, I'd rather have that than trading up and getting Patrick Surtain. Mm-hmm. I just would. Let's go to the phones. David in Germantown. David, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, David?
I had to call you early because I'm about to run to Wyoming, but y'all had me laughing, man. I thought y'all were saying Jason Sehorn. I'm like, what the hell? Anyway, I'm like, what? Okay.
You definitely don't want Jason Sehorn.
No. But I'm with Ike, man. You got to get the – you need a stud player. Not saying Mark's wrong, but you need a guy that's going to make – that you, I don't care if it's offensive defense, that you have to scheme for it. As soon as he steps on the field, it's like, or the week before the game, you're like, all right, we got to worry about it. But hello?
No, we're listening to you.
Yeah, we got you.
We're listening to you.
Okay. All right. And I got a couple things to ask you. I'm going to get off and listen, so you don't have to respond back. Whatever happened to the Ask Ike segment? Because I got an Ask Ike segment pending to the draft. And Capper's coming this week, so it's going to be a fun thing in Philly. But this Ask Ike segment, Ike, since we're on a draft topic, right?
I'm going
to ask you a question because I love the insightful players. Did you expect to get drafted or no? No disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
sure.
Yeah, all right, I like the comments. Yeah. Like, yeah. So when
I actually, it was two rounds later than I expected, David. I mean, if I'm being honest, yeah.
Okay, all right, well, I got you. But the day before the draft, are you nervous or what's going on through your mind? Do you have a team in your mind that you want to pick after interviewing and blah, 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 blah?
Yeah.
Man, give me a story.
Okay, David, I appreciate it, brother. We normally wait till we get closer to the draft week, normally that week.
We get Ike's draft story.
Yeah, when we do the draft story every year. But I don't mind it. Yeah, it was I'll give a sort of a quick version of it. Family and friends were there. I was advised not to pay attention on the first day, as there was a chance that I wouldn't go on the first day. Now, back then, there was only 2 days of the draft, rounds 1 through 3 on the first day and then 4 through 7 on the second day. And so I thought I had a good chance of being, at worst, a third-round pick. So why wouldn't I pay attention on the first day? And because I'd watched the draft since I was like 16, 15 years old.
The year you're in, you're
going to
watch the
draft. Yeah, you think I'm not going to watch the draft from the beginning now? So I did, but the reason why they didn't want me to watch the draft is because it can be nerve-wracking and you don't necessarily enjoy the day because there's a lot of agony that goes with not being selected. So, and that certainly came true. And then plus having family and friends over, they just make it worse because they're going to say, oh, it's going to be okay, baby. It's that and the other. Or you were better than that dude. He sucked. Like, you got to hear that from your cousins and your uncles and this and that and the other all day. And so you got to get through that day, which I did. Made it to the next day, the morning. The draft started at 10. And then thankfully, I didn't have as long to wait around Sunday morning. And there really wasn't, I think I maybe just had my mother, my brothers, and my son, my only son at that time, who would have been 6 or 7 years old at the time. So, that's what it was. And listen, it was the pick number 142. I felt like I was the number one pick in the draft. I mean, once you get picked, you're excited. It doesn't matter. Once you get picked, and then I went to a team like Philadelphia, so I was really excited. Team known for defense, know the history of it, so I'm going to a major city.
Great radio station.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know about sports talk radio at that time. But the fact that I was going to a major city, I was excited about that. I didn't want to go somewhere like Green Bay or Jacksonville. Didn't want to get drafted by Detroit or Cincinnati.
Right.
So –
you want to have a chance, right?
Well, I mean, I grew up in Cincinnati, and Detroit is Detroit, so yeah. I mean, listen, Philadelphia wasn't a great team when I got drafted, so.
No, they weren't. But
it had good history, though, and it was a great city.
Right.
It's a great city.
So did you – he asked, like, did you have preferences to where you wanted to go, or you just wanted to go somewhere that wanted you?
Yeah. I just had a couple teams I did not want to go to. Yeah, nobody wants to live in Green Bay. So, yeah. I mean, you know, although I would have been just as happy had they drafted me, but yeah, you know, you get it when you're making out your wish list. Yeah, you're just saying, I just don't want to go here.
You look at the players that were drafted around you in that round, mm-hmm. and I mean, you had the best career out of
all of my. Well, my teammate went right before me.
Doug?
No. My college teammate, Scott Shaw.
Scott Shaw.
Yeah, he went to the Dolphins right before me.
Gotcha.
Pick 141. He was my offensive lineman, offensive guard at Michigan
offensive
State.
Guard.
Yep.
And he didn't play – he only played 2 games, mm-hmm. according to this, so he didn't play a whole heck of a lot. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Matt and Ridley. Matt, how are you?
Mike.
What's up, Matt?
Two questions – or one question, 1 point.
Okay.
I asked this to Richie a couple weeks ago, so let me see if you're on the same wavelength. Do you trust the man making these picks?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You just say,
really?
Do I completely trust him? Yeah, I do. Listen, I like him when he's picking up higher in the draft. He's done a pretty good job there. I don't like when we get cute. That's what I don't like. I don't like when we want to, you know, maneuver around the draft board and pick up extra picks for later and this and that and the other.
You're making my second point.
Yeah.
The less Howie meddles, the less mistakes he can make.
Right, right.
We should have stayed at 6, but this is why we need to stay at 12, or you know, where we are now.
Okay, so, listen, I'm okay with that. And listen, and I'm okay with that. And I understand not wanting – my only point is that we brought up this hypothetical, right? Would you move up to 9 to get your guy versus staying there and he potentially not being there and not getting your guy? For me, I want Patrick Surtain enough that I would be willing to give up the third-round pick to move up to get him based on this scenario. If he falls to us at 12, awesome. We don't have to move at all. But my major point is to get the guy that I want, I'd be willing to give up a third-round pick to move up a couple extra picks just to make sure I get my guy.
Out of the top 10 picks, who is the least likely to be a bust? Like, who is your can't miss in your top 10?
Patrick Surtain.
Okay.
or the you got listen, Pitts is a I've seen phenomenal wide receivers come out, man. Tight end skill positions, I've seen it. And I think he is going to be phenomenal. But you got a better chance of getting the bus at that position than you do at that cornerback position. Offensive linemen are always more of a safe pick. So if you wanted me to go that route, I would say Penei Sewell, right, or Slater is more likely to not bust. Quarterbacks are the most likely to bust.
Right.
They are the most likely to bust. Of these five guys, likely three of them won't live up to expectations. Two of them may wind up signing a second deal with their team. Maybe only one of them actually turns out to be that guy. Now, could this be that draft of Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger? Could be. But those are rare, man.
There's no way all five guys.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Turn into above average players, no.
Exactly. So, you know the quarterbacks are going to bust. And I just look at what the Eagles need, man. It's not a reach position. It's a safe position. It's a position where you can plug and play from day one. This kid stepped on the field as a true freshman at Alabama and has been a stud from day one. From day one, coached by his father, a perennial Pro Bowler when he played. I just think he's the most sure pick in the draft in the first round. Mm. That's right. My only thing.
All right. Well, let's see what the people think. 215-592-9494. It's also our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, when you're shopping for the diamond engagement ring of her dreams, buy from the home team. That's Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Shop local with Mark's Jewelers online, marks-jewelers.com. Like, it's an even 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. Trade up or stay at 12. 49.4 to 50.6. Even split. What do people think out there? 215-592-9494. The Eagles being linked to trading back up in the first round. The first thing I say is they were up in the first round. They were at 6. You could have gotten any of these players at 6. So stay where you are at 12.
Oh, no, they had to have that first round pick for next year.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. The first round pick was so important. But you also have that additional third. You can trade back up to get another high pick in the first round. I don't want to trade away my picks to move up. I'm comfortable at 12. Ike wants to go get his guy. What do you think? 215-592-9494. Your phone calls coming up next. The Mock Draft Central control room. We go to Jack about 2:45. That's coming up. Marks and Reese on 94WIP. Today's show is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's welcomes back the best fans in the world to their flagship location on Packer Avenue in the Stadium District, plus their locations inside the Wells Fargo Center and Citizens Bank Park. Chickies and Pete's back after this. Marks Reese, we are back. And today's show brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's, baseball's back. The eBay in-game experience on game days is Chickies and Pete's. Enjoy the game indoors and outdoors. Chickies and Pete's, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Philadelphia Flyers. Elliot joins us at 4 o'clock today. Jack's going to give us his Mock Draft Central mock draft today. That's coming up at 2:45. We'll see what some of the so-called experts are saying is going to happen as we're now less than 2 weeks to the first round of the NFL draft. Let's see. It's odd, I would have thought that in this discussion, most fans would say, because most fans were mad they moved back. So then to move back up, I would think most people would say, no, they definitely move back up to especially to jump the Cowboys, right? But most of the people calling in are saying stay put. And 50% of the people on the online poll are saying that they'd stay put, which is, I would think that most people would say, yeah, trade up, get the better player. But listen, Eagles fans are smart these days, Ike.
Yeah. Nobody's saying what player, though. We're just talking about picks.
What, a 12?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle.
But you don't know if they're there.
So the only
we don't know if they're there.
Okay, so,
and we don't know if the Eagles want a receiver.
So you're right. Maybe they didn't want a receiver at 6. Maybe they want a receiver at 12. But so if they're okay with a receiver and a corner, and that's being reported, I don't know if that's right or not, because crap's thrown out there right now all the time to take people off the scent.
Well, let me tell you real quick. It would be ridiculous to take a wide receiver after moving out of the sixth spot when you would have had a better chance to take the best wide receiver in the draft. It would just be – it's just a bad way to operate a draft. If receiver is a priority of yours, then get the best one. If it doesn't matter if you got the best one or not, then why take one in the first round? Why take one in the first round when you got other holes to fill? You've been drafting wide receivers for the last 3 to 4 years. How many times are you going to invest in this one position?
Well, I'm not gonna say that.
It's just foolish. Foolish thinking. How many times are you gonna invest? It's the one position in the draft that is the most likely to be a bust. It is the most likely position to be a bust outside of the quarterback position.
All right, well,
wide receiver.
I would still like
come on,
the top,
Eagles,
the top three receivers, but. You could also get J.C. Horn there. That's the other thing, right?
Okay, well, then stay there and get a corner. Listen, you're asking me what I would do. I don't know how much the Eagles love Patrick Surtain. They may love J.C. Horn. I'm just telling you, as my guy, that's what I would do. I don't know if the Eagles love Patrick Surtain. They might like J.C. Horn better. But if he's the guy that I want and that's the guy that I would target, yeah, I would try to get in front of two teams, especially in my division, that could also likely take the guy. See, a lot of it boils down to how much a player likes or how much a team likes a player. Just go for example. Everybody's worried, is Justin Jefferson going to be there? Justin Jefferson going to be there. Guess who the Eagles loved more than Justin Jefferson? Jalen Reagor.
Can't argue with that.
Jalen Reagor. So, I mean, it's all hypothetical. I'm not in their draft board meeting room. But to me, Chase would have been worthy of the pick at 6. I wouldn't have moved back. And I've always felt that Patrick Surtain is a top 10 pick. I've always felt that. So if they like the guy as much as I like the guy, then I'm going up to get him. I'm not taking seconds or third best guy because this would fail to me. You got a chance to go get the guy and you picked up an extra pick. What was more important to you to move out of the sixth pick was getting that first round pick next year. Fine. Now you got an opportunity to go get a top 10 player, the best player at the position, not the third best player at a position. That's not truly a position of need, as you got 8 wide receivers on this team that are 3 years and under. So that's not even a position of need. It really isn't. That other cornerback position is a position of need. That's what that is. So that's why I would do it.
All right, let's go to the phones. John in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. John, how are you?
Hey, fellas, how you doing today?
What's up?
Great to be on with you. You know, in a perfect scenario, I was hoping that we were able to land that first-round pick from Indianapolis. I would have went Smith. But, John, I like your idea, trading back into the first round. Ike, I'm with you. This team desperately needs corners. I'd even go Farley, Horn. Whoever's on the board at 12, that's probably where I go. I love Surtain because he's can't miss. There's no doubt about it. But what I do to get back in the first round, like you were talking about naming players,
yeah,
the guy that I would like, that if you get back like in the 25, the 22 to 25 range, is the thumper middle linebacker from Tulsa named Zayvon Collins. If you've seen him, I know he played against body competition. I get it.
I don't care.
He's 6'5", 260. He came home with all the defensive awards and hardwares. The guy runs like a deer. If you were to get like a Surtain and Collins out of this draft, I think it would be absolutely monumental for this franchise.
What's his name?
Forward.
Zayvon. You're looking at the number two backer in the draft.
Yep, Zayvon Collins, yeah. In all a perfect right. world, I was hoping we'd get like Smith or Chase at 6. We'd get that Indianapolis pick at 20. We could take Collins, and then I'd get Asante Samuel Jr., at 36, and now you might have 3 starters for your football team that are absolute difference makers. Mm. Thanks for taking my call.
I like
all
that.
Right, John.
I like that. And here's the thing that I'm advocating. Let me sit up
uh-oh,
here.
Because
here's
they listen to you down there.
No, they don't listen. That's why I got to keep beating this drum as hard as I'm beating this drum, because that's who I'm talking to down there at the NovaCare, if they are listening. Listen, stop it with this offensive nonsense. You've invested enough on that side of the football. Start investing on the defensive side of the football. Start investing over there in the draft, high in the draft, difference makers, playmakers. Stop trying to throw your way to a championship. When you won the Super Bowl, you were the number one rushing team in the NFL, not the number one passing team. You had a slow-ass Alshon Jeffrey as your best wide receiver and a slow tight end that got you no yak as your best receiving weapon on the team. It wasn't because you was running up and down the field like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and all these other guys. That's not how you won the Super Bowl. So stop feeling as if we need to put a track team on the field. You can't even pick receivers. So give it up and start developing guys. Start developing these receivers. Come on, man. Start winning football games. You know what? There isn't just one way to win a football game. All that talent that Tom Brady had on offense down there to help him win his seventh Super Bowl. Oh, man. When I look at the playoffs, the biggest storyline coming out of all three of those playoff games was not Tom Brady. It was how that defense stifled that New Orleans offense. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees. It was how they went to where else did they go? They went to Green Bay and beat Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. What they did to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, offense is fun. It's nice. But, man, you got to be able to start getting after the quarterback, getting turnovers. Give your offense some short fields to work with. Ask Tom Brady how important it was to get those short fields to work with and running the football with Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. Right? This idea that we're going to throw our way 50, 60 times up and down the field every game. Come on, man. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. We can't keep chasing wide receivers because you missed out on Justin Jefferson. You missed out on DK Metcalf. Now we're going to make the defense pay because you want to make up for a wide receiver we didn't get two drafts ago or last year. So we're going to keep chasing wide receivers.
Until you find one, Ike.
Yeah, and but here's the thing, though. We were sitting at six and had a chance to get the best one in the draft.
And then what happened?
A surefire thing.
Well, they wanted that first-round draft pick for next year.
Yeah. So now we'll take one coming off ankle surgery or one that weighs 165 pounds. Awesome.
That's a great idea.
Let's go to John. John's in Westchester.
I felt like I had
John.
To get that off my chest.
Well,
right,
it's about, it's honestly like it's about time the defensive players showed up.
I mean, yeah,
there's been too much offense around here. Yeah. Fantasy football. It's about time,
man.
Yeah, what wins defense? Right? What wins? Defense and running the football, right?
Defense, trenches, and
trenches.
Listen, all I'm saying is that we gotta stop chasing this idea of we gotta get a wide receiver, like that's gonna change everything. If we really thought that, then why not get the best one in the draft?
Yeah, I would be.
Give Jalen Hurts the best wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I know a lot of people are saying wide receiver 12. I'd be surprised if they took a wide receiver at 12.
Now, after that passionate plea, they shouldn't.
No, I mean, listen.
Now, it wasn't as bad as Dog standing up in the meetings.
It was close.
Yeah, but that didn't do much. Right? See, we need to make sure that Jeffrey Lurie is listening to the impassioned plea from you. Howie or Brad or anybody down there listening.
They're like, Ike's going off again.
Right, yeah, they're like, all right. Like,
well, listen, all I know, and John, if we know Ike the way we know Ike, we're taking Micah Parsons at 12 in a week and a half.
Yeah, don't have him overcorrect, Ike. We don't need a defensive man like, Ike said defense.
Could he pay?
Yeah, no, please.
I did not name one defensive end.
All right, good. All right, 5 minutes. We go to Mock Draft Central Room. Let's go to John in Westchester. Hi, John.
Yeah, I don't want to stay still. I don't want to trade up. I want to trade down. And, Ike, I want to use you as a reason to explain why. But my first question to you is, of the 22 starters in this team, I can only think of two guys, Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce, both on the absolute downside of their career, who are in the top five of their position. Do you disagree?
I didn't hear that. What'd you say?
Out of the 22 positions in the NFL, there's only two guys on the Eagles, Kelce and Fletcher Cox, who would be in the top five at their position. Would you agree? We have no talent. None.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Slay's probably in the top 10.
Brandon Brooks.
He got to be healthy.
Play last year, yeah.
Yeah, to your point, John, yeah, there's not many there. Yes, I agree with
you. But Ike, here's me using you as an example as to why we need quantity – over quality. Uh-oh. 1998, you were drafted in what? Fifth round, right?
Yes.
Okay, we need a linebacker. Who was drafted number three? Third round.
Trotter.
Trot.
Yeah.
Trot, right?
Yep.
And they were so convinced on you two guys, who became legends, all right? God bless you two, mm-hmm. that we went out and drafted Barry freaking Gardner the next year in the second round, who couldn't play. Mm-hmm. My point is, you got to get a lot of quantity, because the guys we have now can't play. There's no one that can play. Get a lot of quantity, let them ride, let them develop, because you don't know who the next Ike Reese is. You don't know who the next Trotter is, but I see an awful lot of Barry Gardners running around right now.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Barry was drafted. That was a different coaching staff.
Right.
You know, Andy and those guys didn't draft us. Although, you know, Joe obviously was part of the draft that drafted the guys from 1998. But when a new coach comes in, and a lot of people forget, and this may play to the last caller's point about allowing guys to develop, Barry was drafted because they were disappointed in Jeremiah from his rookie year.
So he barely was on the field.
Yeah, Barry was, I think when he left, he was he may have been the all-time leading tackler in the Big Ten when he left playing at Northwestern. So he was a good player, very good player. But Trotter hadn't yet come out of his shell to be the Axeman, which he was ready to do coming off his rookie season, that offseason going into the second season. It wasn't even a doubt. He started week one and took off. I think he had 200 tackles in that year in Jim Johnson's defense.
Oh,
so the talent was there. My only point was the reason Barry got drafted was in part because Trot didn't play his rookie season until the end, and it was a different regime.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense why new people would come in and say –
Yeah, and they want their guys.
They want their guys. And, you know, Barry Gardner ended up being a, you know, starter slash backup player for a couple of years there. But, yep. I mean – Listen, I can just tell you myself, I wasn't happy with Trotter after that year. He was one of the first picks in the third round. So it's like, you know, what? Oh, is he a bust? But some players need that second year, and that's like a guy with Davion Taylor. Like, you don't want to say just because he didn't even make the field. We knew that there was going to be a steep learning curve for him to get in there and play. Now you hope that everything slowed down and he could just go out there and play and use the ability that he has, the natural ability that he has.
But, listen, I love playing under Ray Rhodes and Emmett Thomas, Hall of Fame coach. This ain't no slight towards them because I only got a chance to play with them for 1 year, and that was a bad year, 3-13. But I know what coaching did for me as a player. I know what it did for my teammates as a player. So coaching and developing players, this is a different coaching staff. I want to give this coaching staff the opportunity to see what they can do with the players. So who knows? You get some of these guys with new coaches, and they get a new lease on life. So, I mean, listen, I think Eric Wilson is a major upgrade. I think Harris at the safety position is going to be a major upgrade. We'll see if Kevon Wallace in his second year, does he take over that position, or does somebody else step up at the other safety position? You know what Slay is going to be over there. We need two more corners, and we need another linebacker. The D-line is what it is. I don't know what they're going to do on the D-line. I don't know if they're adding someone early or late, but they got enough. They got Barnett and Sweat. They got Sweat there. I'm trying to think. We got any young tackles?
They re-signed Hassan Ridgeway.
Yeah, Ridgeway. But he's kind of a –
Well, I mean, Javon Hargrave's still young. Player. I mean, he's 26.
Oh, that's right, Hargrave. Ain't even, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
And knowing the Eagles, they'll probably draft – well, now we're starting to see that D-tackle from Alabama.
Yeah, yeah, please no. Please no. Yes.
Howie's starting to flex his football guy.
I read it today how some people are saying, hey, the Eagles could take him at 12. No, a defensive tackle. It'd be so on brand for him.
See?
No, I know. It worries me. It does. It worries me. But, like, one thing you said about developing players, and you're right. I mean, think about it. What's been the biggest struggle that this team has had as far as development?
They've been
fine on the lines, right? Yeah. Like, the lines have been fine. Wide receiver and defensive back, right? So, that their new
Jeff Stoutland is the only coach that's been here developing guys.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
Right? So their defensive coordinator came up as a defensive backs coach, right? Their head coach came up as a wide receivers coach, right? Like, has developed these guys. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the head coach should be a wide receivers coach, but if he has a certain attention to detail in the wide receivers that he can help the coaches with, that can only help. Because you're right, like, I mean, like, how many times, and this is with cornerbacks too, how many guys can you draft that can't play before you have to look and say, hold on, are we really that bad at picking them, or are we just not developing anybody?
Especially when the corners go somewhere else
and play. and play. Right. Like, I'll go with the latter of it's a development issue. I'm not saying that he hasn't missed on players. Like, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a miss.
Right.
But a guy like Sidney Jones or Rasul Douglas, to them being released and getting nothing for them is ridiculous. They're contributing on other rosters when your secondary sucks.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's a Jim Schwartz thing, and it's a Doug thing with developing skill guys on offense. They didn't develop well.
Yep.
So that, I mean, maybe that's like we hear Sirianni talk and we're like, oh, Sirianni, ha ha ha, like he sounds stupid. Maybe he can develop players on offense,
huh?
Right? Like maybe he can. Maybe he can develop players on offense. All right.
What's our OC's name again?
Shane
Steichen. Yes.
Steichen. Yeah. I don't. I'm really focused on what all the Chargers
fans
said
about
him.
Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah,
I don't even know the other coaches.
Well, we got Kumar Rocker's dad, Tracy Rocker,
defensive line coach.
We need him to bring.
He's the one
Kumar
guy that's not in his 30s. Him and Statlin are not in their 30s.
Who's Kumar Rocker?
He's gonna be the number like 2 pick in the draft in baseball.
He's a pitcher for Vandy.
Oh, can we get your baseball talk out of football?
What do we want the Phils to do at 13 in the draft? I mean, we're talking about important things around here.
Well, that will be Mock Draft Central in June.
You sure?
For Mock Draft Central. In the month of April, we go to Jack Fritz in the control room as he has another mock draft.
Oh.
Yeah, listen, we are in the heart of mock draft.
Turning them out now.
Oh, and we've got Charles Davis mock draft today. His 1.0. I don't know how many .0 he's going to get out there, but this is at least 1.0. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, bang, bang. Mac Jones, third to the Niners.
Mac Jones still?
Still, really?
All right.
But Justin Fields is now the odds-on favorite
right,
to be the third
yes.
pick in at least one book.
Yep. And speaking of Justin Fields, 4 to the Falcons.
That's what they should do.
Right. That'd be the smart three. <though.
laughs> Yes.
5, the Bengals do take Penei Sewell.
That's what they should
That's
do.
That's what they should do.
Yes.
The Dolphins take Kyle Pitts, number 6.
Oh, wow. Okay. No Chase? No. Well, I mean, listen, they may be looking at him as a receiver.
Well, yes. 7, the Lions take Ja'Marr Chase. Okay. Which, I mean, if he goes to the Lions. Lions fans are doing it.
Yes.
Cartwheels.
Yes.
8, the Panthers take Rashawn Slater.
Okay.
9, the Broncos take Micah Parsons.
Okay.
10, the Dallas Cowboys take Patrick Surtain the second.
It's a lock. Yeah, it's a lock.
Yeah, listen. It's time to get up there. It's time to get up to number 9 and make sure the
there
Cowboys
we go.
Don't
there
do
we
it.
Go. Do I want the Cowboys to have CeeDee Lamb and Patrick Surtain?
Oh, that would hurt. Well, yeah. and Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, and Trayvon Diggs, yes.
Yes. 11, the Giants take Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
Why are the Giants, like, why would the Giants take a receiver? In all seriousness, like, why?
I have no idea. They should be looking to take O-line, right?
O-line or another corner. I mean.
I guess. So who's it? So is Sterling Shepard their second best receiver? No,
Darius
Slayton.
Slayton.
Oh, yeah, Darius Slayton. Yeah.
Shepard.
And you got Evan Ingram.
And you have Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, you just signed Kenny Galladay. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll take a receiver. They're dumb.
And then finally, at number 12, the Philadelphia Eagles take Devontae Smith.
All right.
With J.C. Horn going 13.
Yeah, see, that's
I'm
where
really
I
would. About that.
I would disagree. I have to believe that the Eagles are going to take a corner. It's more of a needle in the team. I get it that it'd be nice to have. If you think Devontae Smith is a future Pro Bowler, then I get it. The size is obviously a concern to a lot of people out there, and I don't know. You know, how many catches did he have last year at Alabama? Like 100 and some odd or whatever. He seems like a great prospect. I've seen a lot of guys that lack size come into the NFL, and you saw them lacking size, right? And it didn't end up working out. So I'd be surprised if they took if Horn was there at 12, I'd be surprised if they went wide receiver over him. But guess it's a possibility, Ike. Let's go to Aaron in Mount Airy. Aaron, go ahead, man. What's up?
What's up, A?
What's up, fellas?
What up, bro?
Sorry, I had to put my phone down for a second.
What's up,
Ike? Let me help.
What up, A?
Let me help you out for a second.
Yo,
it's Ayana fixed my light. You were studying right there on Spike Podcast. I got you, man.
Oh, man, appreciate you watching. And listen, I knew somebody knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I got you.
Mark, hold on, say it again. Ayana fixed my life?
There you go.
Ayana
okay. fixed my life. Why that L is there, I don't know. But I'm staying right where I'm at. Could we already done move down? Like, why move a pick to trade back up? Because, you know, where we were at number 6, if that's your guy, there's no such thing as overdrafting your guy. If he turns out to be that guy, then you take him. I never thought we were going to take a wide receiver. We drafted one in the first round last year, drafted one in the second round the year before. They turned out to be, well, we know J.J.'s nothing. Jalen Reagor may turn into something, but he's not going to be a great receiver. I never saw him taking a receiver. So I'm staying put. If Surtain happens to fall to number 12, which I doubt, I would gladly take J.C. Horn. Mm-hmm. I would gladly, and I'm not touching Devontae Smith. I'm not touching Jalen Wild. They're too small for my liking. We have a team full of small receivers. That does nothing for. I don't want a 60 catch, 800 yards, 3 touchdown receiver.
Right.
I don't want that no more. And that's all I see from them. Maybe I might be wrong. But
no, that's pretty much what we've been. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't touch a receiver. So to me, it's one of the two pointers: Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, and hopefully the Cowboys and the Giants don't do us dirty and each of them take one of them, and we're left with who?
Wide receiver or trade him back or Quiddy Pay. Thanks, Aaron. Which I would not.
See, here's the other thing. I would even consider, and I'm being serious, I would, Michael Parsons. I would consider Michael Parsons. I'm going to tell you what I was watching yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is what got me thinking, like, man, I wish we had one of these guys. Boy, I'm looking at Ray Lewis highlights from when he was with the Miami Hurricanes. Woo! Man, you talking about a dude who just – now, this is the Miami Hurricanes I'm talking about. He stood out amongst a team full of NFL players. I mean, a team full of NFL players, he stood out as the best from a freshman to the time he left, man. And I'm not telling you Michael Parsons is Ray Lewis because you got to do it at this level before you can be in Ray Lewis category. But, man, you watch Michael Parsons on film, yeah, you're looking at a heat-seeking missile, pardon the analogy, but just tracking down the football carrier. Like, that's what he is. I don't think the Eagles would take him, but, man.
They should.
Man. Yeah, I don't know how you can't find a way to use that.
Well, I mean, God forbid you have a playmaker on defense that
right.
can actually do everything.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I agree. I think you had said it last week where it's like, all right, with taking a guy that high, then you're the expectation is you're drafting him to re-sign him to a new contract where you're paying him a ton of money. And
man, I might – man, he's a playmaker though, man.
He is.
He might – he may be that rare defensive player that's worth it.
Yeah. I would have no arguments if they walked away from the first round with Mike Parsons. All right, coming up, your chance to win $1,000. That's coming up next. Also, Ben Simmons had some really interesting quotes to GQ magazine. Don't miss what he said.
Ooh,
back
boy.
Back to your Eagle phone calls as well. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, if you're looking for a new Acura, then you need to visit my friends over at Elite Acura right now. They need to make room on their lot for their brand new Acuras, which means you can take advantage of big savings on all remaining 2020s, especially the MDXs. Shop and save on one of the biggest MDX selections you'll find anywhere. Right now, lease a new 2020 MDX SH all-wheel drive for $369 a month. Plus, Elite Acura is excited to officially introduce the brand new 2022 Acura MDX. Now, it's the most luxurious MDX Acuras ever released, with some exceptional upgrades. But don't take my word for it. You need to stop in, take one for a test drive yourself. Experience the difference an exceptionally priced Acura can make only at Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage. Make sure you drive home your brand new Acura today. Head over to Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Look for the huge billboard or shop their entire inventory online 24/7 at EliteAcura.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.